Our Father God, as we open up here in Isaiah chapter 53 and we hear and see the testimony, the prophecy of Isaiah so many years before the Lord Jesus even came down to the earth as a babe. And Lord, we see in it describe the work of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage us and help us. Please, Lord, comfort us with these truths that the Lord Jesus himself came to bear our iniquity, our sin, our transgressions. Thank you, God, that you say here that it was the Lord's will to crush him. This was part of your plan. This was no mistake. We ask, Lord, that you would speak and teach. And Lord, if we have never really fully understood these things, we pray that you would pierce our hearts and help us to see. Bring light into our darkness. Help the fog to clear. Help the penny to drop. We pray, Lord, today, by your Spirit be at work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over recent weeks, I wonder what you felt as you've watched the news. You've probably seen some terrible statistics, the mounting number of people with COVID-19. You've heard the numbers of people going into critical care. You've heard the dreadful numbers rising of those that have died. You've seen those ominous graphs as the figures began to increase. And you've seen on the news the scenes from streets and from hospitals of places around the world, particularly perhaps places like Italy, where you've seen the chaos that's been caused in the hospitals. Perhaps just more recently you've seen some of the documentaries or pieces of news that give you a little bit of insight into our own hospitals, and especially in London, and beginning to see some of the problems that are occurring and the very sick people that are there. And perhaps you've even seen on some of these news channels or on the internet just little stories of personal accounts of people that have suffered, either themselves that have suffered through this COVID-19 pandemic, or their loved ones, speaking about perhaps ones that have died, or speaking about people that are on the brink and are so desperate. It's horrible and it's scary. And perhaps it makes you feel, I wonder what you feel when you watch all of this. I wonder what you feel about, I don't know, perhaps wanting to protect others, protect your family, protect yourself. Perhaps it even brings feelings of despair and hopelessness and I don't know, perhaps even anger when you see what's going on in the world. Well, today on Good Friday, it's time to listen carefully to the message that we're given in the Bible. A message of hope to a despairing world. You know, we're in the middle of a series thinking about the question, why did Jesus die? And each time I've spoken, I've taken a different answer. Why did Jesus die? And today, from Isaiah chapter 53, and at the end of verse 5, it says, "And with his stripes we are healed." And so the answer today, why did Jesus die? The answer is, he died to bring healing. He died to bring healing to a sin-sick world. In a world of evil, of disease and disaster and sickness, we turn our attention this morning to the one who came to heal. That, friends, is why it's called Good Friday. Just look with me at these verses, Isaiah 53, and particularly this morning we're going to be thinking about verses 4 to 6. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is good news, friends. We have a Saviour who has come to bring healing. We have a Saviour who has come to deal with our sin, to take the punishment that we deserve. We have wandered off, and he has come to bring us back. You know, it is good news, but like any good news, you need to just take a bit of time to think about it. It might be this morning you need to take some time to think about it to enjoy it all the more. Or perhaps really you've never really fully understood. Perhaps it's always been a mystery to you. Why would we call the day on which our Saviour died on a cross Good Friday? It seems like a very sad thing to be thinking about. We need to test good news. Just like, you know, when you answer the phone at tea time and someone tells you that you've won a prize holiday and you're thinking, well, I've never even entered a competition. We need to test to make sure this is genuine, this is real good news that applies to us. So we're going to go and consider this prophecy, especially these verses. Again, 700 years before Jesus came to earth. I've got three simple things that I want to say to you. The first thing, and we're going to be speaking today using COVID-19 as an analogy to help us to understand what it is that Jesus has come and done for us. And the first thing is that COVID-19 is a symptom and not a cause. It's a symptom and not a cause. You know the difference between a symptom and a root cause. You probably know that if your skin went a bit yellow and the whites of your eyes went a bit yellow, and when you went to the doctors aren't going to try and correct the colour of your eyes and start putting some spray tan on to make you a better colour. The doctors see that that's a symptom of something that's going on inside your body that's not right. There's a problem that needs to be dealt with. The yellowing of your skin and the yellowing of your eyes is a symptom, but there's a root cause that they need to find out. Perhaps it might be a problem with gallstones, or perhaps some problem with your liver, or pancreatitis, or hepatitis, or sickle cell disease. I found those from the internet. But then they need to get to the root problem. You know, whenever we begin to start thinking about suffering or start questioning about why things are so bad and why things are happening like they are in our world, there is one important fact that we need to remember. The first thing I always say if someone asks me about suffering is that God did not make the world like this. God made the world perfect. There was no sickness. On the last day of creation, he looked at all that he had made, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, and he knew that it was good. He said it was good. There was no disease. There was no decay. There was no death. There was no COVID-19. But we look around the world now and we can say, well, that's not what it's like now. Clearly, things are not perfect. Babies die. Children get sick. Strong adults get diseases, people get cancer, people are blind. And this latest pandemic of COVID-19 seems to be a global thing. We could include other natural evils, like volcanoes and hurricanes and tsunamis that cause devastation, or floods or famine. And we might include moral evil as we look around and we see people stealing and we see people fighting. We see greed and war and swearing, etc., etc. Now, these are not the root cause of our trouble. They are symptoms of a deeper problem. The root cause is below the surface. And we only get to it when we say, well, what happened? If God made the world perfect, and now things are in a mess and there's trouble and evil and suffering all around us, what happened to change things? And the answer, friends, is not very comfortable. The answer is sin. The answer is our rebellion against God. God gave Adam and Eve a perfect place in which to live, but they chose to turn their backs on God. They thought they knew better. They did the one thing that God said they mustn't do. And friends, you know, we have done the same. We're in the same big family. We have found the same in our own hearts, that we would prefer to worship other things rather than God. We don't want to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. You see, the root of the problem is not COVID-19 or any other illness or problem that we can see in the world. The root of the problem, they're just symptoms, but the root of the problem is our rebellion against God. And the Bible tells us that the whole world, not just people, but the whole world is groaning in futility, in meaninglessness, that there's a brokenness in the world that we can see. This, friends, makes sense of what you see on the news. It makes sense of what you see when you hear about pollution, when you hear about the broken oceans. It makes sense of the pain that we feel when loved ones are suffering. The root problem is not a disease or these other symptoms. The root cause is our rebellion against God. Our great battle is not against COVID-19. Our great battle is against our own heart's desire to turn away from God. And that's what you see if you look at verses 4 to 6. Yes, it speaks in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Interestingly, griefs there can mean sickness. The word that's translated griefs can mean sickness, and the word that's translated sorrows can talk about pain or diseases. He's borne our griefs and our diseases. There's a connection with sickness, but he gets to the heart of it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, our sin. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and it's by his stripes that we are healed. Now, I need to be very careful, because I want to say, and I make it really clear, that I'm not saying that people that are suffering in a particular way, people that perhaps are suffering from COVID-19, have sinned in any worse way than anybody else. I'm not saying that people that get swept away in a tsunami have done anything worse wrong than anyone else. But as humanity, we have turned against God, and it's brought all of these problems into our laps. Jesus comes to us as the great physician, the great doctor. He comes, and yes, he does deal with some of the symptoms. If you want to turn to Matthew and chapter 8, you'll see that passage in Isaiah 53 is quoted. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. That's a quote from Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I said already that those words can mean illness and disease. So Jesus did come, and he did deal with some of the symptoms. But the thrust of his work, the thrust of Isaiah 53 and the thrust of his ministry through the New Testament as we read it, is about sin. It's about dealing with the root cause, not with the symptoms. There'll be blessings that come as he deals with symptoms, and indeed he can heal today. But the great work on the cross did not just deal with the symptoms. It dealt with the root cause. And there's another passage in the New Testament that quotes from Isaiah chapter 53, and that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. It says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Quite clearly, in this letter of Peter's, he's showing that Jesus' death on the cross was about dealing with our sin. And when it speaks about by his wounds we have been healed, or by his stripes we have been healed, by the way that Jesus was injured upon the cross, that brought us a healing, not just to do with our sickness and health, but to do with our sin. Jesus died on the cross to deal with the root problem. You hear a lot at times about computer viruses. You know, we're dealing at the moment with a real virus, but you hear a lot about computer viruses. Now when that happens to you, if you have a problem with your computer, the enemy is not your computer hardware, and it's not the computer software. Even though it might be infected, that's not the problem. The problem needs to be tracked back to the source, the programmer who programmed this virus. And while we're thinking about the effects of sin in the world, and often we're pointing back to Adam and Eve, I just want to stop just briefly and ask you, are there scars, are there relationship problems, are there pains in this world that if they were traced back would come back to you? That your sin has impacted others badly? Your greed, your unkind word, the way that you behave, the things you didn't do that you should have done. Good news is that Jesus died to deal with all of that, right at the very root, the sin that's in our hearts. So secondly, firstly, COVID-19 is a symptom and not a cause. Secondly, COVID-19 is a partial picture of sin. Now, what we're experiencing at the moment is horrible, but yet still it's only a partial picture of what sin is like. You see, COVID-19 has an impact on most people in the world, in one way or another. A few people catch it badly. Some need to go to hospital. Some, of course, have mild symptoms and fight it off at home. Some, as we're learning all these new words, are asymptomatic. They don't experience any symptoms at all. And some, perhaps most, don't catch it at all. But the disease of sin affects every single one of us, without one single exception. Notice in verse 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And which one of us can say, well, that's not me. I haven't gone my own way. I haven't got a problem with sin. The truth is, this disease of sin affects every single one of us. COVID-19 affects particular parts of your body. It seems at the moment that it's affecting mainly the throat and the chest, and particularly badly, people that get it badly, it's affecting their chest and they get pneumonia. But sin affects every single part of us. Our emotions, our desires, our thinking, our speech, our actions, the way we interact with other people. It affects the way we relate to our family. Not to mention the effects that have come from decay in the world. COVID-19 can bring great sickness and even death. But so we're so thankful that, and especially with the help of the NHS, most people survive. Some don't even have any symptoms. But sin, when it's not dealt with, always leads to death. The death rate of sin is 100%. COVID-19 can bring physical death, but sin leads to spiritual death. We're not talking about the end of our bodies and being laid in a grave. We're talking about being separated from God's blessings for eternity. We're talking about eternal death. We're talking about hell. COVID-19 is an enemy of our body and mind. It brings sickness and it brings fear. Sin is an enemy to our very soul. And so in the coming days, as you watch the TV reports or you read about the progress of this disease, take time to reflect upon how it pictures sin in your life. The way that sin spreads. The way that one person's sin affects another. The way that sin always brings harm and never joy. It might seem to start with to be shiny and attractive, but in the end, always it brings harm and never joy. And many of us have got extra time at the moment to reflect. And I'd encourage you to use this time to reflect on these important matters. You might be saying, hang on a minute, you said this was a good news sermon. You're going to be telling me about how wonderful something is. And well, that's the truth, but we need to understand how bad it is in order to know how wonderful the cure is. And so we're going to spend a few moments thinking about the cure. And what my last point is that the NHS is a partial picture of salvation. At the moment, the media and everybody, the whole country, are supporting the National Health Service, our heroes. We've got rainbow pictures on so many windows. We've got people coming out at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night to show their appreciation and clap and bang saucepans and such like. You're seeing all the stuff on television just celebrating the care and concern that's being expressed. They've got special times to go shopping. I even heard yesterday that some of the hotels are making arrangements for some of these people to have a rest and recuperate in their hotels while they're closed to other guests. Even more than ever, we appreciate the work of the NHS being based upon love and care and compassion. Even more than ever, we appreciate the work of the NHS in relieving suffering. Even more than ever, we appreciate the great cost that there is in providing care to patients, both financially and also sacrificially as people go to work and serve others and risk their own health in order to save others. And here in Isaiah chapter 53, we have a healer. The cure is being given for this problem of sin. In this promised suffering servant that's going to come. He's going to come and lay down his life. He's going to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. He's going to be wounded for our transgressions. He's going to be crushed for our iniquities. It's by his stripes that we're going to be healed. Imagine what it would feel like if tomorrow somebody somehow appeared who could heal COVID-19. Or a wonderful cure was developed that completely conquered the whole thing. Everything would feel right again. We'd feel whole. And that is exactly what and who Jesus is. He's come to bring healing and wholeness to his people. And he does it not just at the level of the symptoms, but he does it at the root level of sin. He tackles the root problem. He reaches out to the sin sick in love and care and compassion. His desire is to relieve suffering and to bring abundant life. His work is costly. What could be more costly than the Son of God himself hanging on a cross, giving up his very life? Crystallize this a bit and give you a vivid image of what this might be in an analogy with the NHS. Imagine you get sick with COVID-19. I pray that won't be the case, but imagine you do. Imagine that you get sick enough to go into hospital and you end up in one of these specialist wards where there's so many doctors and nurses around trying to care for you and you're in a bit of a bad way. And as you're laying there, imagine in your mind's eye that there's a doctor somewhere who's waking up in his bed. He's got his wife and his children that are well. And he gives them a kiss goodbye. And he gets in his car and he comes to work in order to help you. Consider the sacrifices that he has made in his training. And the sacrifices he's making in order to come to you and be your helper. He leaves the safety of his home and he comes into a hospital where everyone's got these horrible germs. And somehow, as he's treating you, he becomes contaminated by your germs. And he contracts the disease. Imagine the situation. If you turned around and became well after his treatment, and yet you'd heard news that he ultimately died. And in a loose way, this represents something of what Jesus has done for us. He comes into this world, this sin-sick world, and he takes upon himself the horror of our sin. He takes upon himself the punishment that we deserve. He takes upon himself this great disease of sin. He becomes sin for us. He is doing this with the root cause, not just an illness or a sickness, but with our sin, the very thing that stops us knowing communion with God. And so truly, on Good Friday, this is the day when we see the joy and feel the joy and sense what God has done as he has taken this dreadful disease of sin and taken it from us and put it upon himself and surrendered it to the cross. And it leaves us knowing the righteousness of God. Because not only does he take our sin from us, he places upon us his own righteousness. And he looks upon us and sees us as if we had never sinned. Let me just read these verses again. And I just pray, if you've not understood this before, that today the penny will drop. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So today's Good Friday, we've been asking, why did Jesus die? He came and died to bring you healing and wholeness. He came to those who know that they are sick. He said it's the sick that need a doctor. It's those that know that they're sinners that need a saviour. Jesus wasn't interested in helping those who thought they were good enough already. I meet a number of people who think that if they came to church it would be it'd be an awful thing because they would feel so bad, they would feel as if they weren't good enough to be here. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. The church is a place to come when you know that you're a sinner. Jesus is the one to come to when you know that you're broken, when you know that you've disappointed him, when you know that you've fallen short of God's glory. It really is good news. The victory has been won. There is so much to enjoy now, but the fullness of his victory will be revealed in the future. For then all sickness will have gone. There will be no death, there will be no pain, there'll be no more tears, because in eternity, after Jesus returns, there will be none of this at all. The victory that he won on the cross will be realized completely. Our sin will be gone, we'll be glorified, we'll be like him, the Bible says. Wholly purified, we shall be completely free of disease and decay and evil. You might like to look that up in Revelation 21 and 22. The end of the story. You might be asking, well, how can I know if this is true? Is there really such a doctor who can heal me completely, spiritually? Well, if it was someone coming to claim that they had a solution for COVID-19, what would you do? You'd take a close look at their proposal. You'd ask yourself, is this plausible? You'd take a close look at the man or woman who came to say this, and you'd look at their life. You'd look at them closely. You would care about them and what they were saying. And I guess finally, you want to test it for yourself. And you can do exactly these things in regards to the claims of Jesus. And if you want to see whether this is plausible, whether this is worth listening to, well, join us again on Sunday. Because on Sunday, we're going to celebrate the fact that death could not hold him. That Jesus came alive again and is now exalted and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Proof that his saving work accomplished all that he promised. And today, he invites you to test in faith these things. The only way that you're going to know whether a chair can hold your weight is if you sit on it. The only way you're going to know fully and completely the Lord Jesus' salvation from sin is to put your weight upon him, rest upon him, lean upon him, and trust him. Christ came to heal us eternally. It's good news. And the call to us is two things. Repent, that means turn away from our sin, and trust in him. And then we live a life following Jesus in obedience. Let's pray together as we come to a close. Father God, we thank you for this great news. Our sin, if we're honest, is darker than we've ever realized. Our predicament is worse than we ever really fully grasp. But your love also is deeper still. The work of Christ rescues us and heals us from all our diseases and deals with the root cause of sin in our lives. Please, Lord, grant us repentance and faith unto Jesus, that we might be saved and know abundant and full life in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.